Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is a text. Barry, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
It's a noble campaign. It's an honourable campaign. It's about time someone stood up. But can I break something to you gently, Barry?
Go on.
Before you tell the nation what your campaign is. It's too late, Barry. It's over.
What?
Your campaign is lost. Your campaign is lost. It's gone.
If it's a good enough campaign, it's a good enough campaign.
Well, tell us what is your campaign, and you tell us what your campaign is, and I'll tell you why I think it's over.
Okay, because I have a fierce objection to people saying St. Paddy's Day, because there's no such thing in the calendar, St. Paddy's Day. You know, it's St. Patrick's Day. There was no such person as St. Paddy. It's just St. Patrick's Day. And that is the name of the saint. And he's an international saint, and he's an Irish saint, and we celebrate him with gusto the world over, and rightly so. But you even take an Irish mother, and she never christens her young lad St. Paddy, St. Packy, St. Pat, St. Paddy. He's christened Patrick. And no matter how many people around him call him other names, nicknames or things like that, he'll always be Patrick to her and her son. And, you know, the celebration of St. Patrick's Day, it's a phenomenon that we Irish celebrate the world over. And, you know,
do you object?
I remember...
Okay, Barry, just to clarify, do you object to most... A lot of organisations leave out... No, they leave out the saint altogether. They call it Patrick's Day. Do you object to the saint moniker being left out?
No, I do not. I do. Yeah,
you
I do.
Okay.
Well, I prefer it. Let's put it this way. I prefer the saint, derivation or nomination to be used. I certainly object to the Paddy.
Okay. Are you ready? Have you a couple? Are you sitting down, Barry?
I am.
Okay. Have you time to get a cup of green tea just to steady the nerves?
I will.
Okay. Because I'm going to read out. Just in the last few minutes, I Googled Country Living, which is a very estimable magazine in the UK. It does hunting and Laura Ashley and highfalutin country houses. This is their headline on the 25th of February. Brace yourself, Barry.
It says, celebrate
St. Paddy's Day with a homemade Irish meal. Are you ready for more? Come from the UK, from the home counties. Come to the home counties of Ireland, the closest we have to the home counties. Greystones in County Wicklow.
Yeah.
What does the Greystones guide say? Greystones.
If he says Paddy, I'll get him excommunicated.
It says Greystones Paddy's Day. And not only that, but they have stickers with Greystones Paddy's Day. Okay, Love in Dublin, which is a widely circulated magazine here in the capital. You get it free in a lot of restaurants. Brace yourself, Mary. Ten Paddy's Day events to check out in Dublin over the bank holiday weekend.
That is disgraceful.
Well, there's more to come, Barry. That's why I think you're it's over, Barry. The campaign is over. Galway Bio, which is a very popular website in Galway. And you think Galway of all parts of the country.
Yeah, of course.
What's their headline? Paddy's Day in Galway. What time is the parade on in my local town? Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
George, it's not Paddy's Day, George.
Well,
it's an abomination.
Do you want to go academic with me now? Let's go toe to toe in academia. UCD website.
Yeah.
And it's a subsection called Nova UCD. St. Paddy's Day celebrations in UCD. St. Paddy's Day. Okay. Now, I'm not going to be left out. Trinity College.
Yeah.
Set up in 1492, was it, by the Queen Elizabeth? the Holy and Undivided Trinity College of Dublin. Yeah. The headline this week in the Trinity News, recently in the Trinity News, which is the foremost magazine in Trinity, it says, in photos, tens of thousands lined the streets of Dublin for... Go on, say it, Barry.
I can't, I'm not. Say I will it. Not be forced.
Say
I will
it.
Not be forced.
Go on.
It is an abomination. It's too big.
Trinity
too
News.
Big. So,
tens
am
of
I
thousands
lined...
You are.
Am I swimming against the tide of convention, Joe?
Am I
wasting my time, Joe?
You are. You were hoping to swim up the Liffey. I think you're being dragged to the Isle of Man at this stage. Trinity News. Tens of thousands lined the streets of Dublin for Paddy's Day.
They're absolutely shameful. Shameful. Because there's no such thing as Paddy's Day. It was St. Patrick that commemorates our national saint. You know that, and I know that, and you've learned that he was born in 432, wasn't he? Well before the Academia of Trinity College came on the scene.
That's true, yeah.
And his name was St. Patrick.
Oh, Mother of God, Barry. Oh,
beatified.
Mother of Merciful Intervention. Look where I'm after finding.
What, Joe?
State College Police. The police are preparing for the state's Patty's Day. This P-A-T-T-Y. Barry.
Oh, dear.
It's gone.
I'm crying, Joe. I'm crying. You know, that's worse, Joe. That's worse, Joe, than when I went to England first. I worked with Aer Lingus for 20
years. I know, I understand. Yeah.
And that is worse. You get introduced to some English guy. They knew no different other than this. You know, your man is, oh, and the first thing they say over their mouths is, Paddy, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, be garra and be jays, let's have another pint of Guinness. That was their summation of what I was of being Irish was at that time, Joe. You know, we were very proud of our heritage. I mean, the phenomenon of St. Patrick's Day is celebrated the world over. I have a friend of mine, Des Kennedy, and we marched in the parade in New York in 1961. And, like, that parade took 5 hours to pass the viewing stand. And we marched in Aer Lingus uniforms and stuff like that. If you were able to walk in Aer Lingus, you'd be fired over to New York to march. And then when we were halfway through the parade, we broke off the parade. And then the Laois County, they had their James Fintan Lawlor banner. And they asked us to carry the banner for him as well. And we did that as well. But twas... to some phenomenon. A friend of mine rang me not too long ago. Joe, do you know where he was at a parade? One of the great parades, he said, in Macau.
Oh, Macau.
Joe, yeah. And Macau, and St. Patrick's Day parade in Macau. The biggest, one of the best parades in Europe is in Lanzarote every year. And I know an awful lot of people that timed their trip to the sun in the Canaries to Lanzarote around to coincide with the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Well, you know where I was once Grand Marshal of the... It never happened for me in Ireland.
Where,
but you know where
Joe,
I was once Grand Marshal and led the St. Patrick's Day parade?
You were Grand Marshal in what, Joe?
Let me finish. In the St. Patrick's Day parade in Moscow.
Thank you very much.
In Moscow.
I'm delighted to hear that.
Back in the night, was in the Gay Bourne show around 1994, and we carried the banner.
Yeah.
We carried the banner proudly.
You were proud, Joe, to do it.
Yeah. And it was a Gay Bourne radio show. We had our own banner, and it was St. Patrick's Day. But we called it St. Patrick's Day. We wouldn't let anyone away with it. We wouldn't. And where, Barry, are you going to take this campaign to higher quarters?
I don't know, Joe. Joe, like your own station there now.
Yeah.
Isn't exactly top of the class for the
Mother, country. Oh, tell us.
Joe, I'm telling you, I've heard too many presenters there referring to it as St. Paddy's Day. There's no such thing as St. Paddy's. There's a St. Patrick. Anything else is... nondescript, shouldn't be bothered with. And I don't think anybody that said to me when I was an immigrant, they said, well, how are you, Paddy? I ignored them completely. I never answered to the name Paddy.
Okay, where's Flory? Flory is on WhatsApp. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text, 0818 715 815. It's not talk to Joe today, it's talk to Joseph. I want my full name. Florrie, you're listening to Barry. You're listening to Barry.
I am, and I'm 100% behind being called St. Patrick.
Okay.
Or Patrick.
You're a woman after my own heart.
Oh, well, it's my husband. He's dead. He died a couple of years ago. But okay. He used to have hysterics. No, well, not quite, but he used to get very angry. When people said Paddy's Day, he said, there's no such thing as Paddy's Day. It's St. Patrick.
Correct.
And was it, insofar as you know, Flory, your late husband, what, like Barry said, why it grates with him, is he sick? He goes back to an earlier time. Well, maybe it's happened still, where Paddy, the word Paddy was almost a pejorative term, especially in the
UK.
Well,
that was abroad. That was in England and places in America. You were looked down and you were a Paddy.
Yeah, it was pejorative. You're absolutely lovely word, Joe.
And where did pejorative Joe, Paddy? Where did Patty, P-A-T-T-Y? Because I just read out a headline from an American paper, Patty's Day.
I never heard of that. That's the first
well,
I've
that's
heard
out there
of it.
As well. I see it slipping.
I knew a couple of ladies that might have been called Patty, but it's certainly, it's nothing to do with St. Patrick.
By all accounts, he was male.
And Barry, I know you're sitting down having your cup of tea, but you think you're on firm ground here, Barry?
I think I am because
hold your horses and get your wellies out because the next caller is saying you're not on firm ground. Tom Fanning, good afternoon, Tom.
How are you doing, Joe?
You want to pick Barry up on something. Feel free.
Yeah, I'd like to know what is his first name again?
Oh, my first name?
Yes.
Yeah. Barry.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Now, Joe Duffy is Joseph Duffy.
That's right. John Joseph.
That he was christened as, I'm called. Yeah. But his name was cut down to Joe Duffy. Yeah. My name is Thomas. Yeah. And it was cut down to Tommy.
Okay.
Tom.
Okay.
Tomo.
Okay.
Yes.
Hooker.
Tossie, whatever you call it, yeah.
No matter what name you have.
Wait, hang on, Tom. Tom, when you get to the killer blow, Barry.
Patrick.
No, the killer blow is Barry. What were you christened, Barry? What's on your birth cert, Barry?
I was christened Francis Finbar Anthony.
Tom, a home run there. Game set and match to Tom Fanning.
No. I want to know, Joe, what did your mother call you?
John Joseph Duffy. She got it wrong in the...
Did she say
John Joseph?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you are. Tom, what did your mother call you, Tom?
Thomas. But I was christened Thomas, but she never called me by that.
The game said a match to Barry.
I won't say... When I was mitching from school, now I won't say what she called me.
I'm sure, Barry.
Okay, more people come. Paul Walsh.
Joseph.
Yes.
Joseph. I think the only winner here is Joseph Duffy.
And I doubt it. Paul Walsh.
How are you doing?
Your contribution, please. What do you think of Barry's argument? Do you think it's too late? The campaign is over. It's lost. Gone.
Well,
finito.
It's completely wrong.
Okay. Oh,
because it's never St. Patrick. Because for a start, he's not a saint. Because to be a saint, you have to do two miracles, and he never performed a miracle. His name wasn't Patrick.
He's a saint by tradition.
No, and his name is not Patrick. Yes. His name was Zukot.
Oh, good luck. Zukot.
And the reason he was called Zukot, he was Welsh. And the reason he was called Patrick is because he was a patriot, which is a person who promotes religion.
So we should be saying... So, what should we be saying?
Saint Patriot.
Well, we shouldn't actually promote him because he came to Ireland to get rid of all the snakes.
Yeah.
Which were the druids of Ireland. That's only a story.
But Paul, what are you saying is his proper name? Okay, Paul, what is his proper name?
Zukot.
So
Zukot.
So it's Zukot's day.
Well, if you want to promote a man who killed all the druids in Ireland.
So we should say the Sioux Cats Day. Are you going in to see the Sioux Cats Day parade? Are you a Paul? Paul? If St. Patrick killed all the Druids in Ireland, are there any Druids left?
Yes.
There is, yeah. The Roman Empire killed all the Druids all the way across Europe.
Yes.
And the last ones were in the island of Anglesey, which is Holyhead.
Yes, not too far away, yeah.
And the Romans wouldn't come to Ireland because it was too cold.
Yeah, too dear, apparently.
probably. And they came across the...
Are you a Druid, Paul?
I am indeed, yeah.
You see, well, speak freely. You're in your grannies. And what does that mean, Paul?
Not a whole lot. It's just that a dump of don't follow the Christian way.
Okay. And if you would Drew, if you would Druidic name, if you would sorry, where's I keep missing you there, Flurry, because you're on.
It's okay.
What did you want to ask, Paul, Flurry?
Is what Paul is called after a Christian saint.
That's true. That's true. Paul, have you a druidic name?
I'm being facetious.
I know. Have you a druidic name, Paul? His line's gone there for a minute. We'll come back to him. Gillian.
Hi, Joe.
Where do you stand with Barry's campaign? Sorry, Finbar's campaign.
Okay, let's call everyone their full names. Yeah. I kind of didn't really think about it until I heard him there. And then I was kind of asking myself the question, what do I call it? And I always say St. Patrick's Day. And I suppose that's just the way it kind of always stuck in my head. But then I was wondering, because you were calling out all the different places that are promoting St. Patrick's weekend activities and so forth. So I checked out our own Tralee Chamber Alliance website page here in Tralee to see if we were giving... the good man his full title, and sure enough, he's been given his full title, St. Patrick, on the Tralee Chamber Alliance website, and that's how the weekend is being promoted. There's no Paddy in sight at all. But I suppose, you know, I don't think it's meant as an insult as such. I think it probably came, I was just saying there to a researcher, that it probably kind of infiltrated down from people that were abroad, you know, particularly in America, you know, St. Patrick's Day, they have the Paddy's Weekend and Paddy and, you know, the Irishness of it. And I think Paddy kind of resonated more with the Irishness of St. Patrick than St. Patrick did with the event itself. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose the whole thing has changed, really. Like, I mean, it used to be just a kind of a one day, you get dressed up, you put on the half a ton of shamrock on your jacket, you went down, watched the parade, came home, went about your business. But like, it's a whole weekend festival now, and it's totally changed from what it would have been, I suppose, back in the day.
Okay.
But I do think, though, that you know, calling it its, I suppose, its authentic name, as in St. Patrick, is... I think it's nice. And, you know, while I'm not really big into religion or anything like that, you know, I mean, you know, we have St. Bridget's Day now. You know, are we going to be calling that Biddy's Weekend or, you know, call it what it is. And it's St. Patrick's Weekend or St. Patrick's Day. And that's it, really.
I just say, you put two things into my head, Gillian. One is, what's Donald Trump? How's Donald Trump going to get his shamrock around Micheál Market.
It's Kerry Shamrock as well. It's actually down from Ballinskellig's. He's getting Kerry.
You know that, do you? Okay, yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. The shamrock is grown with love and tender care and a fine gust of wind down in Ballinskellig's, which is, I'm in Tralee, so it's a good bit down. And it'll be transported.
Love to Trump.
What'd you say, Gillian?
I'm giving love to Trump.
You're giving your love to Trump.
It's I said the
shamrock is grown with love down in Ballinskellig.
And
a lot of people in Kerry will buy the Ballinskellig's shamrock, and it's transported around the world. It's very famous shamrock.
Okay. Now you are.
But I'm just saying, that's the shamrock that. That Trump, or let's call everyone their full titles today, President Trump will be getting. So a Cork man will be going over to the White House with Kerry Shamrock. So, yeah.
Okay, now can I just finish on a point that...
The
point that Finbar was making earlier about what is your name? And you like your mother always called you by your full name. I have a habit, which I developed many years ago, of referring to people by their full name. In other words, I call Gaby times Gabriel and Pakenny Patrick or whatever. And the only person that used to pick me up on it all the time, and I used to deliberately say it to him, was the late, great Pat Inglesby. The people know, the great Pat.
Who died this week, yeah.
Pat, I worked with Pat way back in 1975 in Arx Advertising, and he had an office upstairs in the building where we all the little fellas like myself, I didn't smoke, but everyone went up for a smoke with Pat. Pat was a creative genius. And if you said, and then I used to see him around Clontarf, and he'd say, "How are you, Patrick?" "Don't call me Patrick. My name is Pat," he'd say. And the other thing as well is that hasn't been remarked upon, unfortunately, on Irish national radio. I know it was on the news on Saturday with Evelyn and Karen on the TV news. But Pat Inglesby made an enormous contribution, not just to TV and Pat the Hat, but to Irish radio. He did the most incredible, I hope we can find one or two of them, the funniest vox pops you've ever heard for the Gayborn radio show, because he used to stand outside the Bank of Ireland, the corner there in College Green, with his distinctive hat, and he'd stand there and with his microphone, and he'd say to people questions like, "Who is in charge of the time?" Okay? And he get the most funniest. In other words, who sets the clocks or whatever? His other great question was to people, innocent passersby, "The first fella that milked the cow, what do you think he was doing?" So will we remember Pat Inglesby?
We could go down a fierce rabbit hole with that question.
Will you join with me, please, on Irish National Radio, remembering the late great Pat Inglesby. Pat,
yes,
Pat,
he was wonderful.
He died on the 4th of March in Clontarf nursing home, and then his RIP notice is typical of Pat and his family in terms of its love. "Son of the late Paddy and Eileen, beloved Paddy, do you hear that, Barry? Beloved companion of Vivian and friend of Willow, Rinka, Runda Hoot, Blackie Goodjoe, August Marvin. I think they're donkeys. Deeply regretted and sadly missed by his family, Michael Inglesby, who I know, a great circus archivist, the best circus archivist in the country. Anne and Des, Deo and Patsy, Bridgie and Will. I know Bridgie was there, and as all the family were. His nieces and nephews, Aisling, Fiona, Dave, Melissa, Pat, Michael, Jackie, Paul, David and Rory. I want to mention them all. And there will be a celebration, for people who want to know, a lot of people do. There will be a celebration of Pa's life. That's Pat Inglesby. In the Victorian Chapel in Mount Jerome in Dublin on Thursday afternoon, this Thursday at 2:30, and donations. I want to get this in, because if I didn't, when I met Pat Inglesby the next time, he would give out to me. Donations would be greatly appreciated to the Donkey Sanctuary, which was very close to Pa's heart. God rest Pat Inglesby.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And as you know, up to a few years ago, Pat Inglesby, what's that? Pat Inglesby used to sell his books on the corner there of College Green, Bank of Ireland, where he also did the Vox Pops for the Gay Bourne Show years and years ago, and in North Dale Street, and wherever anyone would stand and have a very informative chat with him. So he was a great character in the centre of Dublin. Stephen Troy. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You must remember Pat the Hat. I always saw him in College Green then, and he did. I don't think he went up your way towards Moor Street, did he?
I don't think he was on Moor Street, no. I think he stuck over to the College Green himself.
Yeah, but come here, Stephen, you know what I saw on, was it TikTok or YouTube the other night? I saw the most incredible fight in Henry Street. I don't know whether you saw it, about six of them, eight of them maybe, Now, they looked out of their proverbial, unfortunately. But there was kicking and shoving and people on the ground being kicked in the head and the tummy or whatever. How are things down on Moore Street and Henry Street as we approach St. Patrick's weekend?
Look, Joe, unfortunately, it's happening on a daily occurrence in the north in our city, you know. Moore Street is absolutely overrun with antisocial behaviour, with people congregated there daily, you know, drinking alcohol, littering, and spitting out sesame seeds onto the street, you know. It's become a very undesirable place to do business, you know, so things aren't improving at all.
This is Moore Street. But
surely, this is the famous Moore Street.
But Stephen, I know you rung the butchers down there a long time. But Stephen, surely the footfall, the pedestrian traffic, the traders, all of that in Moore Street would ensure that people can't do that nonsense. You know what I mean? That they're so busy.
Yeah, Joe, I think now you're thinking of the footfall that was there a few years ago before the place was ran down into the ground by private developers and by the state, you know, leaving buildings derelict there for over a decade. Unfortunately, when a place is negligently managed, you know, we get overrun with antisocial behaviour and we're basically suffering the consequences of neglect down there and have done so for a long time.
That sounds catastrophic, Stephen. Seriously.
Yeah, it's hard going, all right.
And is it tough going in the sense, can you keep going?
Yeah, well, you know, thankfully, you know, we're one of the lucky businesses that have been there for five generations and we have a very loyal customer base and a generational customer base as such. So thankfully, we're still doing okay, but we have been open 7 days a week now to stay viable, you know. And the poor usage within the terrace buildings of the same shop usage throughout the street doesn't help at all. It doesn't attract in, you know, customers. It's been kind of a negligent management policy by DCC, you know.
They would deny that, of course. But who owns the 1916 houses?
Well, the state owns that.
Well, that's the state's fault. Why in any country in the world that can claim, which is Dublin, the only capital in the world that can claim that the state, as we know it, began in a specific geographic area, which happens to now be slap bang in the centre of Dublin, GPO, Moore Lane, as you know, Moore Street, the O'Rahilly, Moore Lane, where Michael Collins, Sean Lamass, Clark Plunkett, James Connolly, who was wounded at the time, and Porrig Pierce, they were all in the one house there on the corner of Moore Lane and Moore Street. Not just the seven signatories, not just the future leader, Michael Collins, but a future Taoiseach, Sean Lamass, who was only 16 at the time. And why we wouldn't capitalise on that, pardon the pun, I do not know. So I stand with you there. Now, the only thing, the criticism I heard of Dublin City Council, and they're big boys, they can and women, they can take the criticism. They're well able. Yeah. The main criticism I heard recently was over the traffic changes, where the city manager said it was his policy to get the motorists out of the city centre. Has that affected you?
It hasn't thankfully affected me as much as it has some other businesses in the city, but there has been very few traffic changes on my side of the city, so I'm not really impacted by them yet. I know, as you know, Joe, I'm the chairperson of the Dublin Business Alliance Group, and I know some of the businesses are really feeling the heat from it, you know, but I think they're just preparing the city, you know, for this metro development where they won't be able to have traffic in the city because it's going to have a catastrophic effect on businesses in the city for the next 15 or 20 years while it's being built, you know.
And Steve, when you say about people carrying on, to say the least, and that's a nice way of putting it, in Moore Street, is there, I know it's an old chestnut, surely there's Gardaí around.
Oh, Joe, I'm blue in the face asking for more Gardaí on Moore Street and on Henry Street and within the laneways. You know, it's a very easy fix. The reality of it is they just don't have the resources to give us those extra guards. We're still waiting on the Taoiseach's task force to get their stuff in order to try and counteract this antisocial behaviour. But to date, nothing has been done. It's proven to be just pre-election dribble, you know, as usual.
But I think if they put a small platform at the junction of Moore Street and Henry Street that's raised They do in New York all the time. That's raised and nice attractive piece. I'm not talking about a bit of scaffolding. Where the Gardaí can observe the street. You can observe two streets. Idea. Simplest thing in the world. But anyway, Donal Killalay. Donal Killalay, joe@rt.ie. Would you agree with Stephen on that description of Dublin City?
I certainly would, Joe. I think it's, you know, unfortunately, that whole area, the traditional area, the historical area, O'Connell Street, Moore Street, it's becoming a disgrace. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a no-go area, but it's certainly an area that needs guards on the street. You know, I used to be part of a charity run where we'd walk out on a Tuesday night with a trolley with hot food and tea and coffee for the homeless.
Okay.
And there are parts in it where you wouldn't want to go down. And the things you see, you know, I've seen 14, 15, 16-year-olds doing drug deals and fights on O'Connell Bridge. And unfortunately and regretfully, there's never any guards. None in attendance.
Well, we have a new, he's not a new guard, obviously. We have a new assistant commissioner in charge of Dublin. His name is Paul Cleary. He's in his early 50s. He's from Clondalkin, Rowlandstown originally. And I read an interview with him. That's how I came across him. I think it was in one of the Sunday papers 2 weeks ago. And he was extraordinarily formidable in his interview anyway. And he sounded like he was open to anything. He was open to any ideas that could come up to give a much more visible presence, a much more visible presence of Gardaí in the centre of Dublin. But you say, Stephen, are you on Moore Street now?
I'm not. I'm off today, Joe.
You're off today. Okay. Well, take yourself back to yesterday. Did you see many Gardaí yesterday in Moore Street?
No. Look, it's very rare we see Gardaí. You ring them for incidents, they take their time in getting around. You know, it's they don't have the resources. When you ring them, they tell you they just don't have the resources, you know. It needs to be changed at government level. They need to invest huge money into the Garda and pay the Garda properly for what they put up with on the streets of Dublin. It's the only way forward to tackle the anti-social behaviour.
What about
issues?
Those? I presume you read it in the papers this morning that there's 100 Gardaí, maybe 160 graduating from Templemore this coming Friday. They're getting a week off until the next Friday, which is the Friday of the St. Patrick's Day weekend. And 100 of them are being deployed to Dublin. Surely that will help.
Hopefully they put plenty around O'Connell Street and Moore Street.
Yeah,
if I just come in there, Joe.
Donald,
I mean,
yes.
Exactly as Stephen has said. Like 100 is great, but it's the location. If they put them on O'Connell Street, Moore Street, and don't put them on Grafton Street. You know, when I used to be out on a Tuesday night, you'd see sometimes guards up and down Grafton Street. Well, you don't need it. You know, you put them in the places where they are needed. And as Stephen said, it's the old historical centre. It's the wonderful O'Connell Street, which should be a thriving main street of the capital. And you know, this deputy commissioner, I wish him well, but I just hope that they can. His words are followed by action.
Yeah. Okay. And in fairness, we don't know how Garda management arranged their resources. Okay, thanks, Donald. Thanks, Stephen. joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie. Laura Ruth, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You said I'm hoping to become a Fox campaigner. We've already had a St. Patrick's Day campaigner. What's a Fox campaigner? Okay.
Well, myself and many other people are trying to just support, trying to bring in a ban on fox hunting.
Well, do we not? Don't we have a ban on fox hunting effectively here?
No, like, you know, where they go out on their horses and, you know, dogs go in and sort of tear to shreds. There's not a ban in yet. I know one of the politicians is trying to, you know, bring something into the Dáil, but it's just not here yet, Joe, so.
Okay, and where is your own interest from foxes come from?
I've been feeding foxes the last number of years, and I think they're lovely.
Are there many of them around where you live?
No, probably not. I've had probably two calling for, like, initially it just started with one, but then two started calling. So I wouldn't say there's a big, you know, a population of foxes in the area where I am, but two have been calling the last number of years, and I find them very placid. And I think they're totally misunderstood. Like, people have said they're aggressive. I've watched their behaviour, Joe, and I don't believe they're aggressive at all.
They're only aggressive if you threaten their kits, aren't they? They only address their cubs. Yeah.
It's like we're all, like, kind of like that. And, like, they have to eat as well. And I know people give out about them, you know, going after livestock and stuff like that, but they have to eat, like, and I'm just hoping there's
when
a way...
When you say livestock, you mean chickens and hens. They don't go after anything else, do they?
Yeah, I know, yeah. I've had people come to me and say that, like, what do we do about that? But, like, you just can't. Like, you can't kill someone for being hungry. And the same people eat chicken every Sunday, Joe. You can't just kill an animal because it's hungry. And that's its food preference, is chickens. And
are they a regular animal, Laura? Would they come back to your house every night at the same time?
Yes, every night, Joe, in around the same time. And it's so cute. And actually, one of them is actually pregnant. She does appear to be pregnant. So
brilliant.
I'm kind of keeping an eye on her. I'd be very protective of them. I think they're absolutely a lovely, misunderstood animal. And they'll watch you when you're putting out the food. They'll watch you from down the field.
But
they're very cautious as well.
I was actually online recently looking at electronic equipment. And one of the things I saw was and they were for good purpose, fox watching cameras, night watching cameras.
Yes.
They're very unobtrusive. And it sparks people's interest in watching the nightlife. If they're lucky enough to have a garden, watching the nightlife around their garden. Have you got one of them? Or even a security camera?
My son's dad has, I think it's some type of security camera where you can watch them and just to sit down, have their food, and then to go. If they feel safe, they'll sit down and have their food there. But if they hear the slightest noise, they will sort of pick up their food and take off. So it depends. Yeah. They are very cautious. I know some people say, Joe, they're brazen, and maybe in some parts they are, but the ones that I'm dealing with, I find them very cautious, and I think that's because of the persecution that they get.
And we were only talking last week about, we were talking about COVID and the different world that was there. Do you remember the photograph of the fox that used to live on Grafton Street during the lockdown?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Up and down, I think it was a he. Up and down he went on Grafton Street, and he wasn't at all worried about what went on, because there was no one else. But surely you find, when you say it to people, Laura, people do love foxes generally.
I actually, to be honest about it, Joe, the majority of people I have spoken to are in favour of a ban. They don't think it's right what's done to animals. And I'm doing as much as I can. And I know I'm not the only one. There's some wonderful people out there that are standing with me, and they're doing their own thing as well to try and to get something brought in, because it's not right to kill an animal. It's not sport, Joe.
Would you know the difference between different foxes, the ones that come to your house? Can you identify? That's one thing that always struck me. You know, you can tell
between male and female,
or even between one fox and another, if you follow me.
They do kind of all look different, but I have two, and I think I sent in photographs, Joe.
Okay.
Just of different animals and stuff, because I would be like an animal lover. But,
right, as most people are. They love animals.
I just feed them, and I kind of watch. And I seen even one night a cat came in and started eating the fox's food, and the fox just sat looking at the cat. So it didn't attack it. It didn't try and stop the cat. It just kind of, it was waiting its turn till the cat went. And then,
they're
not aggressive. Maybe in some situations they are, but definitely I don't find that.
If their cubs have been threatened. Okay, that's a lovely note to finish on. Laura Ruth. Laura, go to meet a mock at Joe at rt.ie. 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie and 51551 is the text. Donald McClement. Donald is in Cork. Donald, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Ozempic did not work for you. Well, it doesn't work for a lot of people. It did not work for you. What happened?
Oh, absolutely, Joe. I was put on Ozempic this time last year.
And just remind people, sorry for being cutting across you, Don, but just to remind, this is my fault, just remind people what Ozempic does and why it's been called the skinny jab and the miracle this and the magic this. Just to remind people of what Ozempic is supposed to do.
Well, Joe, it was designed for diabetes treatment, but I was put on it because I have had a weight problem for a lot of my life, and it was put on it with the intention of helping me to reduce weight. I am not a diabetic, but I had been suffering from some retention fluid problems, and as a result, my heart was under pressure.
Wow, okay.
But I went on Ozempic as a aid to losing more weight, and within a very short space of time, I started to fall.
Wow. Fall?
Literally. I'd be talking to you, and the next minute, I was on the floor without any warning. And this went on for about 6 weeks. I fell maybe once a week or twice a week over 6 weeks. And finally, my final fall at home, I split my head and was taken into hospital. And they spent 4 weeks trying to figure out why I was falling.
Well, then why? Well, did they?
Well, eventually I was taken off the Ozempic. I'd only been on it for 6 weeks, but I was taken off it. And 2.5 weeks after I came off Ozempic, I stopped falling.
And is that when you were told about the side effects, was dizziness one of the side effects?
Well, I at that stage, I don't think anybody knew anything about the side effects. And I think even still, Joe, this is my concern.
Well, we're told nausea varies. I don't want to go into the gruesome detail. But we're told nausea, tummy issues, both ends. And I think dizziness is in there. But would dizziness come from just not eating food?
No, I wasn't dizzy, Joe. I was perfectly healthy in every respect, other than I would suddenly fall, and that was due to low blood pressure.
Oh, okay.
And that seems to be another side effect. And for 4 weeks in hospital, I had every test under the sun. And they finally took me off Ozempic, and hey presto, a couple of weeks later, and since last May, I haven't had a problem.
And in terms of the issue that Ozempic, we're told, is this magic, which is not, is this magic solution, not for everybody, were you offered a replacement?
No, I've obviously changed my lifestyle a certain amount to retain the weight loss. But what I'm concerned about is that people are getting the impression that Ozempic is a cure-all for everything. And I just believe that people should be aware it can have serious side effects.
Okay, which is stated. But stay with us, Donald. Dr. Deirdre Ford. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Now, I see, Deirdre, there's another jab called Saxenda. I read about it when I heard about it, never heard about it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Saxenda, so liraglutide is the name of that one, and the Ozempic is semaglutide. So it's a daily injection. So you inject into the, inject into the lower tummy, but it's a daily injection, and you start on a low dose for a week. You start at 0.6 milligrams. And you increase by 0.6 milligrams every week until you get your target dose of 3 milligrams. So it's a daily injection, and it is licensed for weight loss as opposed to being licensed for diabetic. I just wanted to keep away from the whole Ozempic thing to make sure that there was supply for diabetic patients. So I went with Saxenda to treat my patients.
And does it work insofar as you can generalise?
Well, I was on it.
Okay.
I have 60 women on it at the moment. I started Saxenda about 2 years ago myself when I lost 2 stone very quickly, and I managed to keep it off until I stopped taking the injection probably last November. I decided I really didn't need it, and by January of this year, all the weight was back up again. So that's the problem with it. I reset my body just for a month because I tried it again and there was nothing working. So I said I need to just stop Saxenda for the moment, reset my body for the month of January. I started again in February. So I'm about a month on it now, and I'm down about 5 kg, but it's very slow and it's tough this time, and I'm not sure that I will be able to lose all the weight that I wanted to lose. Yeah.
So
this is lifetime joke.
Yeah, I know, lifetime. And what effect does it have on you, dear? Does it reduce your appetite?
Yes, absolutely. So the side effects, if you're prone to sort of sensitivity to medication, you will get side effects from this. Some women that I have on Saxenda have had none, but it's the nausea when you start the injection. But it usually passes after maybe the second or third day, and the way to get rid of that nausea is just drink more water. But there will be times where you've got constipation, you'll have a crampy diarrhea, and, you know, they're very unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And the other one that I noticed with me as I was getting onto the higher dose was palpitations. Palpitations felt like kind of churning anxiety.
So you definitely have to do it under medical supervision. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
But Deirdre, does it change your say you like sweet things or a sweet drink, or does it change your desire for those?
It can.
Okay.
It can. I found that if someone mentioned a dinner to me, I'd feel like thrown up. I couldn't deal with kind of that kind of food. So you're kind of drawn towards food that is like comfort food.
Yeah, but why?
I think it was.
Why do we want that in our lives? Where someone says, "Would you like to have a meal?" and you puke. That's sorry. You know what I mean?
Because
what I'm listening to is ads for restaurants, and all we read in the newspapers is reviews for this restaurant and that restaurant and this chef and that celebrity chef and the other celebrity chef and the anyway.
This would be, at the beginning when you're doing it. When you're on the 3 milligrams, your food is delicious. You just won't eat as much. But I did notice, when I was talking to your researcher yesterday, I like a glass of white wine, but it was a Pinot Grigio that I used to like. I couldn't look at it now because I went completely off it. It's too fizzy. It's too something. But, you know, some food, it's like, you were never pregnant, but it's like when you're pregnant and you have this craving for something. That's what your body is going to look for.
Okay. Now, two things, Deirdre. One, I think it's called aichmophobia, i.e. fear of needles, which people have, as you know. We had them on, had a person on here the other day who just couldn't abide injecting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You say with Saxenda, you have to do it every day. No diabetics.
Every day.
But you have to do it every day. No bother.
Every day. You won't see. I mean, the needles are tiny.
Yeah,
you can hardly see them, you know. But, you know, if this is something you're going to have to get over if you are serious about going on these weight loss injections, because as I said, it's daily. There's no point in saying I'll do it once or twice a week. That's not going to happen with Saxenda. This is daily and you've got to stick with it.
Price? Cost?
$250 a month.
Medical card? No.
Not on the medical card.
And the drugs refund scheme? No.
No. No, not on that either.
So $250 a month is 12 to 24. $3,000 a year?
Yeah, I guess so. It's what?
After
it
could
be 50. It's €50 a week, really. It's €50 euro per pen.
Well, that is $3,000 a year. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether you heard Donald there, Deirdre. He said when he took Ozempic, he didn't get dizzy. He said he just dropped every now and again. Sorry, fell.
Yeah,
more.
When
it's
I,
much more serious than dropped. Fell.
Yeah, when I heard that, I thought, God, I wonder, did he have a hypo attack? You know, hypoglycemia.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if he was having a hypo attack, he'd be sweating profusely and you'd know exactly what was wrong. But maybe his blood pressure, you know, did drop as a result of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, say with us. And by the way, Deirdre, because of all the publicity, and there's been non-stop publicity in the last few weeks, especially every single magazine, every single Sunday newspaper and Saturday newspaper about this programme on Ozempic, do you find patients coming in looking for it now?
Oh, yeah. Patients will ring me looking for it.
And what do you say? What do you say?
Oh, so if they want an appointment to see me, they come in to see me. I have consent forms. I have symptom checkers. I go through their whole history, their blood pressure, their weight. So they come to me And I will make a call on whether it's suitable okay. for them or not.
Have you told? Yep. And if you say no,
the sad face is looking at me, and I just say no. This is not for you. You know, try something different for the moment. But I said this is not for you. You're only, you know, you've a BMI of 27. Where are you going? I mean, you might have a few pounds up, but I would get women coming in saying, oh, there's a wedding coming up. I want to lose a half stone. No, this is not for you.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
And you'd be adamant about that?
Absolutely.
Well done. Because I remember we had a brilliant, we've had many brilliant calls on Liveline. But I remember a few years ago we had a woman. I think she was in her early 80s. And the only way you have to go and get an eye test, or you get a note from your doctor that you can still drive, Deirdre. I don't know what you have to sign. And she rang and said, I'm in high dudgeon. Lovely woman, said, I went to my doctor and he refused to sign the cert saying I could still drive. And I said, what did you do? And she said, I went to another doctor.
That's not what you do, isn't it?
Well, if I don't get Ozempic off Deirdre Ford, will I go to another doctor?
Well, Dr. I listened to Catherine Thomas last night and it's scary that you can actually just go online or go on these online doctors. That's terrible.
Well, something that's as expensive as that and that's as hyped as Ozempic, there is going to become a black market for it. It's an inevitability.
Absolutely, and you'll get stuck. It's no more than when they did the program about the whole Botox thing, all of that stuff and all the illegal stuff coming in and having to mix it yourself. It's only a matter of time before all that will happen.
Okay, stay with us, Deirdre, and Donald and with Mike Crowley. Mike, good afternoon. You say Ozempic has been a game changer for you.
Absolutely, Joe. It's a super drug, to be honest. Okay. Now, I was on it about 3 years ago. I down the low dosage, up to the middle dosage and into the full dosage. And I went on the full dosage. It created a lot of problems for me. I got nausea. I didn't feel well with it. I'm back off it. I started back on the low dosage and I went to the middle dosage, 0.50, and that works for me. I don't need to go to the full dosage.
And are you on it because you're a diabetic, Mike, or because of the weight issues, or both?
Blood sugars, Joel, diabetes, type 2.
And I was, well, Ozempic was always prescribed for that, wasn't it? Well, in a different, before it came into its current iteration, so to speak.
And yeah, it works for me.
It made a difference. Now, did you take it again? Did you take it for weight loss?
No. I didn't have a weight problem anyway, Joe. Okay. So just primarily for diabetes type 2.
Okay. And does it, Mike, does it change your desire for food?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It suppresses your appetite massively. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Which part of diabetes treatment is getting your weight down anyway? It's a huge factor in it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
In the treatment, yeah.
And how are you doing now? Well, obviously you say it's a life changer. You're doing very well.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. It's been a great thing for me. Personally, for me, it's worked for me perfectly.
And are you still on it?
Yeah. Well, you're on it for life, Joe, to be honest. There's no change.
But do you get it on the long-term illness because you're a diabetic?
Yes, we do.
Well, as I said, there's only 30,000 people in the country that the HSE are giving Ozempic to on the long-term illness. And there's only 5,000 they're giving it to on the medical card, people who have medical. So it's a relatively, the vast majority of people have to pay for Ozempic and Saxenda and whatever, Mounjaro or Kilimanjaro, wherever it's called. And it's not cheap. It's not cheap. But anyway, that's the business. Dr. Deirdre Ford, I know we've hit on it there, but Deirdre, I just think you're going to be inundated with people looking for it.
It's been
referred to. You read all the Hollywood nonsense. The skinny jab, it's been called, which you shouldn't. No one should repeat that phrase. I'm after repeating it because you say I read nothing else but the skinny jab, and then it's not the. Why do we even go along with this pharmaceutical company, PR? That is a skinny jab. It's not a skinny jab per se for everyone by any stretch.
No, it's not. And I mean, you know, Saxenda and a lot of these, they will say that if you don't lose 5% of your body weight in the first 3 months, then that's as much as you're going to lose. You're not going to lose any more.
Yeah.
I was lucky the first time I lost 30 pounds, which is really, really good.
Okay.
But I know, Joe, that when you're going through all of this, you really have to look at what you're eating too. And I know that when you get to a plateau when you're on Ozempic or if you're on Saxenda where there's nothing shifting. So you've got to change something. And that's when you might have to do a little bit of walking or you've got to change whatever you're eating because you will hit the plateau and then it'll start to go again.
Deirdre, before I go, because we did it all last week and we had an enormous reaction to it, the whole thing of the fifth anniversary of COVID in Ireland. Do you remember it?
I do. I got COVID on the myself.
Yeah.
On the, it was just before the very first lockdown in March 2020,
yeah.
And I wasn't able to work for about 3 months.
Wow.
Because of that. So there was like, it was the very first. I can't even remember what it was the first time. You know, the very first strain.
Well, yeah. So it began. Our first death was this week, 5 years ago. The lockdown began. Yes.
Yeah, and do you know where I was? Because I used to work in public health.
Yeah.
And when the whole, when I heard that there was this new virus in the country, I think it was the end of February. So I contacted my colleagues in public health and I said, do you need a hand? So I went up to the National Ambulance Service in Tala.
Well, well done.
And I sat in with them, yeah. And I remember we were just setting up computers and that. And I remember after one day when we finished counting all the new cases,
yeah.
I remember looking at one of the other doctors and I said, I can't believe we've 40 cases in the country. I couldn't believe it, 40 yeah. cases in the country.
And it went up exponentially, yeah.
Absolutely. By the time I got it, that time in March, I think it was about the 20th of March,
yeah.
I was case number probably 26,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just shows you where, and anyway, I know there's people writing, the Sunday Independent started a series last Sunday about it, but it's such an impact. And Richard Chambers wrote a great book, I'm actually reading it again at the minute, about we forgot very quickly, not in a bad way, I'm saying, but we were on a different planet. The 5K, the 2K, can't go outside your county, the Gardaí stopping you, as all, the 9 euro pizza, the meaningful Christmas, the pubs being shut down, the PPE, the PUP, the 2 metre, 3 metre, the social distance, the wash your hands. It was just a different world. Deirdre Ford, it's been fascinating talking to you. It's Dr. Deirdre Ford, not alone, Dolan McClement and Mike Crowley onwards. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Remembering the wonderful Pat Inglesby. Anne Kelly. Anne is in Boyerstown. What a beautiful name. In Navan in County Meath. Anne.
I am indeed. Joe.
Pat Inglesby,
yes,
don't call him Patrick, because I always did, he gave out to me.
No, he never went as Patrick,
never,
it was always
no.
Pat.
Yes, right.
Pat Inglesby. About 40 years ago, Joe, condolences to the Inglesby family first.
Here.
And he was, my daughter had to go to Temple Street for an x-ray, for kidney x-ray. And it was around Christmas time, and you know, Pat would be in the hospital and all. It was Temple Street. And we were going in, and we went in on the lift. And as we went into the lift, Pat Inglesby was in the lift with a saucepan on his head.
No better, man.
A saucepan on his head.
No,
well, my lassie was only, she was only four at the time. And she kept looking at him. She knew she had seen him on the telly, of course. At that time, he was big on the telly.
Pat the Hat, yeah.
And, yeah. And he just made her day. He made her that, oh, he keeps saying to her, you'll be grand, you'll be lovely now. You're a great little girl. Oh, I never forget him. I never forget him now. And that's true. And the Temple Street, of course, they were wonderful. But now she's going on to 40, 45 now. And she's running the marathon in Lisbon next week. She's going on Friday.
Isn't that fantastic?
So that's what... Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
She never looked back. But anyway, she's running with the Dulleek runners, Dulleek County Meath, and they're fantastic. And there's about 50 or 60 of them going, I think. So there you are, Joe. That's all I wanted to say.
And Pat, what a wonderful person
he was.
And I was reading a lot of stuff about him at the weekend, and the number of groups, youth groups especially, he went out and visited and spoke to them about life he was born with the complication of polio, as a lot of people were of his age and my age at that time. And Pat always had that in his life. People wouldn't know generally, but he did have it. Did have it in their life. And I remember I remember him as a copywriter, as he used to call them, in an ad agency. And the ad agency was Arx Advertising.
Yeah.
And I say we used to go up. And one day we went up And Pat, we'd all go to Pat's room for divilment, and we're sitting around. And Pat said, "I have a new request here from a client." And the client was Fiat, and they were introducing an even smaller car in Ireland than the Fiat 500. Mm. They were interviewing even smaller, if that was possible, than the Fiat 500.
It was a Bimbo, I think the name was.
It was called a Bambino.
A Bambino, yes. That's right.
Who came? I always, now myself and Pat, I always said, Pat, we said it to him, but he said it to us. So Pat said, within 2 minutes, he had the word Bambino. And the car in Ireland, that little car, smaller than the Fiat 500, was called the Fiat Bambino, believe it or not. Now, he was great.
That's what it was.
He was great. And then he...
He was a great person.
You know, he wrote the poem, A Message from When It, for, don't have the words of it here. Ireland, this is Pat's poem, A Message for When I'm Gone. Ireland, it is little or no favours you ever did me or my poems when I was alive. I have this terrible feeling that sometimes after I'm gone, you will swing into your usual rear guard action so posthumously. In advance, I say, stick it up your arse. His humorous style of writing, as you know, won him.
I thought
a tribute from Uachtaráin na hÉireann, Michael Lee Higgins, was very good. He said, ignoring the advice of his poem, A Message for When I'm Gone, I think it's important to recognise Pat Inglesby on behalf of the generations of children and adults who benefited from the incredibly wide ways that Pat introduced them to poetry, verse and humour. He will remain in the memory of those across all ages who enjoyed his poetry, drama and performance. And as I say, Ardeshge, whatever, and him, to him. Well remembered, Anne. Well remembered. Thank you so much. That's Anne Kelly remembering the late, great Pat Inglesby. Donnacha, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You're reacting to... Well, Laura earlier on, Laura Ruth about foxes. Like, I was looking up there during the break. She's anti-fox hunk, as you know. She's in tune with the nation. 77% in a recent opinion poll of Irish people are anti-fox hunting. But we're not going down that road. You just want to celebrate the fox.
Well, look, I was working for Jim Boulder one time. I hurt the horse trainer.
Yeah, I know, Marty.
He was up near Cone in the county Kilkenny, up kind of high country. But I was driving along an old kind of by road, say, and no traffic, and I just was going very slow, and I just happened passing this laneway, and I just stopped and looked up, and there was a vixen with her cubs just walking up the lane, with four or five cubs trotting behind her. And when I stopped, she must have sensed I was behind her. She just stopped and looked around at me and stared at me for about 2 seconds. And all the cubs stopped as well, and they looked around and just kept going in. You know, it was one of the nicest scenes I ever witnessed. Yeah. You know,
are there more of them, Donnacha?
Well, there is plenty of foxes around, because I hear them in the nighttime when I'm out walking the dog. You can hear them kind of calling, you know.
Because where's it? Joe, stay there, Donnacha. Go up the other end of the court. Joe in Leitrim.
Good man, Joe, yourself.
Fair
play to you. Now you have a great show and you cover everything.
Fair play to you. Thanks for saying that, Joseph.
I know, it's just getting back to what Laura was saying about the fox. Maybe there's more fox. Some foxes more aggressive than others, you know. But I witnessed Yo giving birth. You know, when lambing takes place, you have to be with them, like, you know. But I witnessed this particular Yo giving birth, and I could see the movement in the hedge, you know. So eventually I saw it, I knew that it was a fox, the head of a fox appeared. So she, like the ewe will go round and it'll get up and go round and round and back up again, you know. Eventually I knew she'll lie down and be in, you know. But she lay down anyway, and the fox started to appear, and she got up, she spotted the fox, and she moved a bit and she lay down again. The fox came closer.
Right.
But... then she got up and she went round and round and looking at the fox, and eventually she dropped the lamb standing up. So at that stage, the fox came in, and I was there before the fox.
Okay.
So he took off. he took off. So if I wasn't there, the lamb was gone, you know. And so I just wonder, like, oh, what Laura think of the like of that, you know. I, you know, that's that's on a farmer's point.
I know. Okay, okay.
No, I don't agree with the hunter.
As I say, like, 80% of people in Ireland don't.
Yeah, no. But that's just my version of it, Joe.
Okay.
You know.
As you're from Leitrim, Joseph, will you give your fellow countryman Seamus O'Rourke a shout out?
Oh, because geez, he's one of the best ever tried it.
And
yes.
there's a son
of mine in Cork. He's working in Cork, and he never misses a show. Let you know.
Well, he's on the Viking Theatre this week up above there in Clontarf. And the other thing that we shouldn't honour Seamus because he has two books in the top five for the last 6 months. He's been leaning on Gates and Standing in the Gap. And I launched one of them for him. They're fantastic. But anyway, thanks for giving Seamus O'Rourke, your fellow. He's one of the most famous people ever to come out with Leitrim, Joseph.
And do you know yourself. That, Joe? Do you know what, Joe? You were one of the most famous that ever hit RTE. Happy St. Patrick's Day,
Joseph. Going to meet them all good. Where is Sarah Haggerty? Sarah, you have two friends.
Yeah, well, I did have. This was a few years ago now.
Okay.
And I didn't go out of my way to make friends with two foxes, mm-hmm. but they came actually not together, one after the other. I must have put out a little bit of food in the garden. And we live quite near the beach. I sent one of your researchers a picture of Mrs. Foxy number one in the garden. And you can just see the beach in the background. And you can see how close I would have been to her. But I used to be able to sit in a chair and have some food, a little bit of chicken. And she'd sit next to me on the lawn and I could hand feed her chicken. It was unreal. Absolutely so special.
And you, when you say Mrs. Foxy, that's what you called her.
Yeah, that's what
he called
it.
Very good.
Yeah, and she must have come to the house regularly for about a year, and then she just disappeared, which was quite sad.
Okay.
And then out of real, maybe 6-9 months later, I couldn't believe another fox appeared.
Okay.
And she did exactly the same, and she was able to sit next to me and I could feed her. And also, we had two older foxes come to die in the garden. So whether it was a special foxy I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking of our own Mr. Fox, Mr. Sil Fox, who's been in hospital recently, but he's home and he's doing well. And also June Rogers, kind regards to Sil and June, two great friends of this programme. Right, good to meet him, August, Sarah. Roland, good afternoon. Back to where we began.
Hi, Joe. How are you? Yep.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, yeah.
Well, you have a very good point. Go ahead, make it there. I can see it, but you break it to the nation, Roland, because it's a very good point.
Well, because of my background being Welsh, St. David's Day was on the 1st of March.
Okay.
And it's never called anything else like St. Dave's Day, St. Gavin's Day, you know.
It's never called St. Davies. It's never called Davies Day. Wow, isn't that interesting?
No. Whereas the Welsh should be up in Ireland.
Well, as I read out from the start, stuff from various different publications, Country Life, Paddy's Day, Trinity News, Paddy's Day, Greystone's Guide, Paddy's Day, Love in Dublin, Paddy's Day, Galway Bio, Paddy's Day.
It's a tourist thing, Joe. You know?
Okay, well, it's got into the, but that's a very interesting point. In Wales, your national day is St. David's Day, and you've never heard it referred to as Davies Day, St. Davies Day, or St. Dave's Day.
That would be a laugh, wouldn't it? It's hilarious. You know?
Okay, good to meet them all. Good. That's Roland in Artain in Dublin. Back tomorrow at 1:45, Niall McManigan on sound, research Richie Byrne, producer Rachel Graham, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Cozy up with the new arrivals, in-store or online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.